announcement just made moments ago by our state's health care authority. How come? Well, they're not getting the number of young people they need to sign up for Obamacare. Little problem there. What is the problem? Well, George Will sees it really clearly.
Obamacare always has counted on the mass irrationality of young people. Now, normally that's a good bet, but in this case, it's not so, for two reasons. First, the analogy to Massachusetts is all wrong, for two reasons. First, the youth today, as opposed to when Romney Care went into effect, are the principal sufferers from the Obama economy. They're just not feeling prosperous. Second, Romney Care did not instantly become a byword for incompetence, as this has done. So the young people who are A, suffering economically, and B, recoiling from what they see as people who can't run a website, are not going to come in and come to the table.
Okay. In other words, George Will pointing out that you've got a health care program that is built on the foundation of overcharging young people for insurance. By young, I mean under 35, so that the government can subsidize insurance for older people and sicker people. That's the model. That's what this is based on. You force people to buy policies that contain coverage for things that they otherwise wouldn't want coverage for. And if you can get their plan canceled, their existing plan canceled, so they have to buy on the exchanges, so much the better. And then you overcharge them. And that money can be used to help pay the bills of people who aren't so young and aren't so healthy. What a surprise that they not only have far fewer people signing up for Obamacare than they expected, but they also have only a fraction of the young people they need. They need about 40% of the people who sign up to be young people. That's not working. It's not quite one-fourth. And here just moments ago, our state health care authority, remember, we have our own website rather than just use the federal site. They have launched an innovative outreach effort with Live Nation, producer of the Sasquatch Music Festival, to educate music fans at concerts. Well, that's just what you want to see when you go to the Gorge. That's just what you want to hear is a timeout and an ad, a public service announcement for Obamacare.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Wow.
The Sasquatch Music Festival saves Obamacare, huh? Is that what it's good? Is that going to be the headline?
Do you remember that that ridiculous excuse for a politician, John Edwards?
I've heard of this guy.
Okay, John Edwards was the Democrats' nominee to be vice president in 2004. Mm-hmm. And he ran for president in 2008, and one of the people who endorsed him was John Mellencamp.
Okay.
And so John Mellencamp was playing a concert, and it was, I think, in South Carolina. There's a primary, the key primary there. And during Small Town, there was a little music interlude, and John Edwards walked on stage.
Was this planned?
It was planned. Mellencamp invited him on stage.
Knowing John Edwards, I could see him being kind of backstage in the wings and just, I'm going to walk out in the middle of this one.
No. It was arranged that he would walk out, and he said, I've been to small towns throughout this state and throughout the country. And what I've seen, and almost immediately, boo, get off the stage!
You know.
And, yeah, these fans are very discerning, if you ask me.
I mean, fans are more discerning than John Mellencamp was.
Yes. And soon, Mrs. Edwards was singing that same tune, so to speak. You know, get out of the house. Get out of here. Anyway, trying to mix popular entertainment and politics usually doesn't work. The best thing you can do is have the politician have a rally and feature someone like Bruce Springsteen who starts playing guitar or something like that for a few tunes.
And kind of reading between the lines with this press release you're talking about, we've kind of heard in general that the Washington Health Exchange is going so much better as far as signups and accessibility and enrollment than anything related to the healthcare.gov, the federal version for the Obamacare health plans. And the state is still desperate to try and see what they can do to reach more young people in an attempt to try and get them to sign up.
So why is Live Nation, which sponsors the Sasquatch Music Festival, why are they agreeing to do this? Because the state is paying them.
Did I say
the state? I meant to say Phil and Brittany and John and everyone hearing our voices is paying Live Nation.
Taxpayer money well spent, huh?
Yes. Outreach.
Let's hope nobody in Olympia is getting complimentary tickets to Sasquatch, too.
The integrated program will include an interactive presence at Live Nation concerts across the state and sponsorship of the Sasquatch Music Festival launch party next month.
It's going to turn into the Democrats. The Iraqis will welcome us with open arms.
So, so your tax dollars at work. Now, in order to get the Sasquatch Festival to give them entree, they're basically bribing them. They're spending taxpayer money to try and get them to help us reach the young invincibles who will sign up for Obamacare. And again, I don't think it's going to work. You're asking young people to do something that is plainly, clearly not in their economic interest. First of all, if they're under 26, you've already told them they can stay on their folks plan for free. So why not just stay on it for as long as you can? Secondly, the fine is 1% of their income. So unless they're making big bucks, the fine will be a fraction of what the health plan would be. So it's, I tell you, I want to go to Phil Dyer, former legislator, who, even though he opposes Obamacare, he said, you know, I will actually help you try and get this thing going. And he calls in here, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Good to hear your voice, Phil.
Top of the morning, John. Always good to hear yours as well.
And the reason I didn't introduce you by title is that I've momentarily forgotten the actual title you now hold.
Volunteer en masse. I've been an exchange board member since the implementation of the health insurance exchange began a couple of years ago.
Even though you voted against and oppose Obamacare?
Well, yes, major portions of it. It's, you know, we got the best carpenters in the world, but a lousy architecture. There are some parts that work. The Medicaid expansion is a good thing.
All right. You think so?
Well, we'll argue
about that some other time.
Yeah, we can do a whole hour on that, John.
But, no, that wasn't why you called.
All right. I was just trying to help you out with what we've been talking about, and I've been talking about certainly for 2 years, is that when I talk about great carpenters and lousy architecture, is the incentives within the structure of the AACA for these metallics and for young people is counterintuitive. And as you pointed out, one of the big challenges we have for our risk pool, that if we don't get the young invincibles into the game, we're going to have adverse rate pool problems going down the road for next year's rates.
Rate pool problems translates into what is called death spiral. Explain that whole concept to our listeners, Phil.
Sure. Well, what happens is insurance operates as a risk pool. If you only put adverse risks in the pool, everyone pays more. So what you want is those that are not adverse risks, that are prime risks. Risks that will buy the insurance but not probably be great utilizers, therefore the young invincibles. If they don't show up to support the funding pool of this thing and you only have adverse selection, the older, higher utilizers, you're going to have a huge pressure on rates. It's just a mechanical function, a mathematical process.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's not Republican, it's not Democrat, it's not conservative, it's not liberal, it's math.
Yep, it's just reality. And although it seems kind of bizarre, remember that our exchange operates relatively well compared to most of the others in the unique structure that we have being a quasi-public-private agency. We are not a state agency. So we can be a little nimble and a little more creative and a little more flexible. I think that's part of our success.
How many customers do we as a state need, and how many have purchased not enrolled, purchased a policy?
Well, the numbers that I have is that we have 73,000 that have actually purchased and completed qualified health plans.
Have they paid?
Yes.
Okay, so 73,000. That puts us just under the halfway point.
Right, and then we have...
What percentage of them are under 35?
I'm waiting for new demographic data from our staff. They're working on that right now. The last demographic data we had earlier in December showed that we were around 12 to 14%, if I recall right.
Under 35?
Under 35, right.
You need 40.
Yep. And so, therefore, we're pushing real hard to try and get the Young Invincibles in. We have a total of 454,000 enrollments completed, but only 73,000 of those are qualified health plans. The rest of them are Medicaid, either previously enrolled, redeterminations, and new.
Has anyone run the trap line on how many people have moved from a paid health insurance policy into Medicaid?
Boy, John, I don't have any of that data. I've certainly seen a lot of press accounts regarding that component.
Numerous anecdotes. I know you've heard them as well, but that is not what you wanted. You didn't want people who were paying for insurance to now get basically insurance welfare.
Yeah, in many ways. That's going to be a challenge, and we hope that the offsetting benefit of uncompensated care being directly accountable might be helpful. But the QIHP issue for the young people still remains a real issue for us.
Now, Medicaid is health insurance coverage for the poor, but it has been redefined to now cover, I think, people at 300% of the poverty level?
Well, no. What happened was we, with the Medicaid expansion, we moved from 133% of the federal poverty level to 138% of the federal poverty level for 100% paid by state and federal funds.
Okay.
Then there's a sliding scale subsidy from 138% of the federal poverty level up to 400%
of the federal poverty level. Now, that money comes from?
That's all federal money at this point.
Right, but does it come from a general fund source or from a dedicated taxing source?
Well, that's federal money for the most part. Now, remember, Medicaid is a shared responsibility between the feds and the state, but the Medicaid expansion is initially funded 100% by the feds for the first few years.
And then I think in year three, that 100% drops to 90%?
Well, they're paying 100% of the expansion, so yes, it drops to 90% of the expansion.
Are they obligated to stay at 90, or when they have the same kind of pressures that you were just telling us about 4.5 minutes ago, is it possible, dare I say likely, that... they may drop that 90% to 70% or 80%.
That's always a concern because really no one Congress and no one legislature can hold any subsequent legislature to their laws. They can always be changed.
So you still think it was a good idea to vastly expand Medicaid?
Well, in the theoretical concept, if this is what we're handed, let's make it work.
I prefer not to live in a world of theory.
Well, yeah, John, I know that's true, but the reality of this is this was given to us on a silver platter, and we didn't have a lot of choice in it. So if we're going to do it, let's at least do it right.
A lot of governors said no.
Right. What I'm talking about is the royal we. Our political system has made that decision. So those of us who have concerns over some of the financial longevity of this remain concerned, and we'll keep a wary eye on it.
But, all right. Very good. It's always great having you here, Phil. I appreciate you calling in. Phil Dyer, a Health Exchange board member and former Republican member of the House of Representatives.
John, I was going to add one more quick thing, if I may.
Yep.
As I noted earlier, one of the endemic successes we've had is the fact that we're a public-private consortium. We're not a state agency. Now Eileen Cody, my former colleague in the legislature,
from West Seattle State House member,
proposing that we become a state agency, which I think will
do
nothing more than calcify the exchange.
On what grounds?
I have no idea. She's got her own motives and her own reasons. And
well, we always know what their motives are. They just want to grow government. They want what is private to become private public. They want what is private public to become public.
unfortunately, that might be the case here.
Yeah. Boy, no surprise, is it? All right, Phil Dyer, great having you here. Thanks.
Always,
I hadn't heard that, and I don't think it's been reported yet, so thank you for letting our listeners know.
Yeah, she dropped the bill this week, so.
There we go. Former State Representative Phil Dyer here on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI.